The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3, and it's time for Powering Your Property. This week we're joined by Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Realty, to get insights into the latest property headlines. According to the Housing Board, last week, slightly more than half of all new two-room flats have been bought by seniors aged 50 and above since the two-room flexi scheme was introduced in 2015.
Well, HDB offered about 28,900 units of the two-room flexi flats between the first November 2015 sales exercise and December 31st last year. Well, Nicholas, well, what are your thoughts on the take-up rate for the two-room flexi flats? I mean, do you think that the policy of encouraging the elderly to downsize after family members moved out is successful?
I think the take-up rate is quite good. It's fairly close to the take-up rate of the larger flats, which tends to hover around 90%. And for the government's effort to encourage the elderly to right-size their flats, I think that, well, the take-up, well, according to HDB, is about more than half of the two-room flexi flats has been taken up by the elderly couples. And I think one of the reasons is the kind of gains that they can get. Now, based on information that we gathered from the HDB, is that an elderly couple who sell their four-room HDB flats and take possession of a two-room flexi flats, say last year, they can get a gain, financial gains of between $200,000 to $350,000, excluding the grants from the government.
Among the flats purchased by seniors, the 40-year lease was the most popular at over 3,300 units. This was followed by the 35-year lease at over 2,900 units and the 30-year lease at around 1,800 units. Only 179 buyers opted for the shortest lease of 15 years, with the oldest buyer being 99 when applying for a flat with such a lease. Nicholas, what are some of the reasons for this particular buying trend?
From the trend, we can see that longer lease, like the 40-year lease, are the most popular, while the shortest lease, which is 15 years, are the least popular. And the reasons is, firstly, the government has stipulated that the remaining lease must last the buyer until age of at least 95. So since some of the buyers are in their 60s, we're not surprising that the 30 and years and above would be the more popular one. And secondly is people are also, the buyers are also just a bit more cautious that what if they were to live beyond age 95 years. So that is one reason why they are prepared to buy a longer lease.
Mm-hmm. Well, 85% of the 25,106 two-room flexi flats offered in 27 completed sales exercises have been booked. And of these units, 55% were booked by seniors aged 55 years and above, while the rest were booked by families and singles. I mean, what does this spell out for the entire market here in Singapore? I mean, especially for bigger flats.
The bigger flats, the take-up rate is a bit higher, not surprising, because most of the buyers are not seniors. They can be young families or HDB upgraders with young children. And the take-up rate for the larger flats tend to be roughly about 89% based on the BTO exercises that were launched in the last 3 years. And so which means that we still have roughly about 10 to 11% of the flats they are not larger flats that are not taken up, which I might explain why the government have to hold sales of balance flats exercise.
So that take-up rate is positive, but comparable, you think, to that of larger flats? Obviously not.
For the two-room flexi flats, the take-up rate is about 5% lower than the larger flats. But I think that is not something of great that should ring alarm bell, because the remaining flats can still be re-offered to potential buyers in subsequent exercise. And there will be buyers who would actually like to buy flats that are already built, because they can take possession of a flat and move in within very short notice.
Mm-hmm. And if not, then why do you think the take-up rate is still lower compared to bigger units?
Well, I think that for some elderly couples, they may not want to right-size or downsize, especially if they are not facing financial pressure to do so. And secondly is that for some of them, they may be very familiar with their neighbourhood, and two-room flexi flats are not offered in every neighbourhood all over Singapore. So there may also be some couples who may be interested in exploring right-sizing, but there's just no two-room flexi flats offered in their housing estates, and so the take-up, that might explain why the take-up rate is a bit lower.
We're speaking to Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Realty. Elsewhere, the rate of return for private apartments in Singapore slipped since 2011 when measures to cool the market were introduced by the government. Research from property analytics startup Urban Zoom showed that some units now have a lower yield than CPF, which has a minimum fixed rate of return of 2.5%. Nicholas, what do the findings suggest with regard to the impact of government curbs on property prices?
Well, I think the government cooling measures has tapered the rate of price growth, and in fact, it has triggered price softening since from the middle of 2013, and prices only start to recover in the middle of 2017. So that, in fact, that long period of price decline, it contributes to this rate of low return that some homeowners have experienced.
Well, Nicholas, the study also found that homeowners are holding on to property longer. I mean, the median holding period was 8.2 years in 2019, from a low of about 3.6 years in 2009. Any reasons for why property owners are willing to wait?
Well, if we were to look back at time period of from 2005 to 2009, during that period, there was a big property boom. There was a big boom in the market, and it was also accompanied by a fair bit of property speculation. There was a lot of froth in the market. And because there was no cooling measures then, there was no, say, this seller stamp duty, so people were flipping properties, which might explain why the holding period that back then was fairly short. At the moment, in the last few years, because of all the cooling measures, including the imposition of the seller stamp duty and the total debt servicing ratio and so on, many of the buyers are buying for their own occupation. So they will be more hesitant to sell their properties. And the secondly is that some of them may not be even be selling, might also contribute to this lengthening of the holding period.
So you reckon this round of curbs will continue to dampen prices in the future, Nicholas?
Well, I think prices are still growing. It's just that it could grow a lot faster if not for the cooling measures.
Mm.
But I think we have to turn our focus away from just price growth or so on, because there are some people who think that, oh, if prices are growing very fast, it means the market is good, or prices are growing slower, means the market is no good. Well, that is actually a kind of wrong perception, because the key thing is that are prices, housing, affordable? So as long as property prices are able to expand at faster than the consumer price index, it means that people who are relying on their home as a nest egg are seeing that future value of their properties are not being eroded by inflation. So gradual price increase is probably the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to Urban Zoom, while 82% of condo owners are sitting on capital gains, only 44% will be expected to generate and annualize a return greater than 2.5% per annum, with most of them having purchased the units before 2008. So again, the rate of return for real estate has slipped since 2011, making it hard to beat retirement funds guaranteed 2.5%. So might retirement savings be the best real estate return here in Singapore?
Well, if let's say someone is able to buy a property without using too much of their CPF funds, of course that person will be a very fortunate person because he's probably quite cash rich. But majority of Singapore residents will have to tap on their CPF funds, especially if they are buying their HDB flats or their own homes. But and the CPF rate of return of 2.5% at risk-free rate is actually quite hard to, it can be a bit challenging to beat, because especially if it is 4% for the special account. But if we were to look at the consumer price index as based on what was provided by the Singapore Department of Statistics, in 2017, 18 and 19, the CPI is only growing at between 2.4 0.4% to, sorry, 0.4 to 0.6%. So the property price index is still outgrowing this rate. So as I said earlier, at least we are not seeing a erosion of the purchasing power of that property on which many of us are staying in.
HDB, though, Nicholas, launched over 3,000 flats for sale today under the February 2020 BTO exercise. The flats on offer are located in the non-mature town of Sembawang and the mature town of Toa Payoh. What's the broad range of flats available and how do prices range as well?
In the two towns, there are actually three projects. Two of the projects are in the Toa Payoh town. One is called Toa Payoh Ridge, which is within walking distance to the Braddell MRT stations. I think that one will be one of the more popular projects. Another one is Canberra Vista, which is near the new Canberra MRT stations. That project is fairly large, over 1,100 flats, and the range of flats are also quite wide, from two-room flexi flats to the larger three-generation flats. The prices are also cheaper than the flats offered at Toa Payoh. So I think that's another reason why I think the Canberra Vista project will see fairly good take-up.
Well, that was Nicholas Mark. Thank you very much for your time. And of course, the head of research and consultancy at ERA Realty with insights into the latest property headlines for the past week, right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.